Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Supply.
Inside Your Business is brought to you by Absa CIB, a Pan-African bank that's invested in your story and the growth it inspires. Because your story matters.
It's 6:45 right here on Kaya Biz. You're listening to Refilwe Moloto, standing in for Gugu Mfuphi. The F&B Art Fair's 17th edition will kick off day after tomorrow, from the 6th to the 8th of September. That wonderful wine-swirling, art-observing, friend-bumping into occasion that we enjoy around this time of year every year at the Sandton Convention Centre. And so today we're putting a spotlight on the business of art. I have two guests who are really fantastic guests, and I'm excited to speak to two gentlemen. The first is Atipatra Huga, who is a visual artist and will be giving us as his perspective, as you heard, on being an artist as an individual. Hence, he is part of our Inside Your Business segment. He just launched the most incredible, I mean, I can't say most incredible because every one of his exhibitions is incredible, but one of my favorites of his exhibitions called Amadoda on the Verge, 1835 to 2025, right here at Keys Art Mile at BKHC Gallery. And he joins us right away. Atipatra, how are you doing, my dear?
Good evening, Refilwe. How do you do?
I do fantastically. I don't do quite as well as you do, but I do fantastically. I just want to give the listeners a little bit of a perspective on the breadth of your success. You know, you've been in this game. You're younger than me, which is, I wonder what I'm doing with my life. But you've been in this game for quite some time. I want to say, is it 2009 that you professionally
2000. Began? My first solo show was in 2007. But I had been making art since 2004. So it's been 20 years.
20 years in this game. Here is a person who, when the Zeitz Mocha Museum opened in Cape Town, the biggest contemporary African museum in Cape Town, the first gallery hall that you walked into was basically the Atipatra Huga room of visual art. You have exhibited at the Louis Vuitton Foundation just outside Paris. You have exhibited at the Venice Biennale. And I think for most of us who would like to dabble in art, and I think not just in South Africa, in the world, one, we're told an artist will be successful once they die. and that's when their artworks will do very well. And two, often it's seen as the purview of European or American spaces where the infrastructure in the industry is so much stronger. So help us understand not only your beginnings, but this extraordinary success that you're enjoying.
Oh, once again, it's a pleasure to be able to tell my story tonight. I was born in Umtata in the Eastern Cape, and I was raised in East London, Emonti. First opportunity I got after matric was to move to Johannesburg to study fashion. This is after I had gotten art lessons because my parents were very, very supportive. They play a very, very big role in my success because of that support. In 2004, I then graduate and start showing at Fashion Weeks. And then in 2008, that's when I have my first solo show at the Michael Stevenson Gallery in Cape Town, which was quite a big thing when that happened. From then onwards, I did shows everywhere, so very much trying to establish my studio as a business and also getting into as many homes as possible before museums.
That's powerful, actually, because art is one of those word of mouth is stronger than a marketing campaign kind of industries, isn't it?
It very much is about reputation.
That's it. And so the buy-in of people who actually put their money down is very critical. The idea of supportive parent in the arts is something obviously powerful in your particular story. And we all are grateful for that. It obviously helps that you are exceptional at what you do. But talk to me about some of the challenges for an individual artist in breaking into a particular gallery, either for a solo or even a group exhibition. What are some of the hurdles that we'd face?
I think for me, it can start from historical challenges. I think that the education system can somehow bring you closer to being seen by the commercial gallery spaces in South Africa and internationally. And there is that pipeline. And I feel that I had entered, and this is a very important piece of information, I do not have a degree in fine arts. I do not have master's or a PhD in it. It was basically my virtuosity that got me in, and I always play that trumpet and sing it out loud, that once you focus on your practice as truly a practice, and when I say a practice, I speak about something that controls when you sleep, how you sleep, and basically how you express your life. That is when things start coming to you because you're prepared. I think that preparedness is something that I could say maybe a young artist or someone who wants to come into the industry has to have. And of course, virtuosity, talent even.
That discipline is exceptionally important. I think too often in artistic ventures, whether it be the arts, writing, there's always that adage that at least write every day, even if it's one page, even if it's one sentence, but write every single day. The discipline of approaching this.
I do that.
Oh, really? You paint every day?
Mm. I paint and I write, yeah.
And you're brilliant, because too often we perceive these artistic endeavors as creative feats, and therefore I must wait for inspiration before I act. But actually, the inspiration, it's almost like a muscle. You do need to exercise it on a daily basis, stretch it, put it to work.
Indeed. Usually say to my mentees, actually, that I am seldom inspired and often disciplined, because it is when you're actually on the surface of the canvas, on the surface of the paper, that new ideas and solutions come up. It's very process-based, my practice, yeah.
All right. So just help me understand pricing. Listen, you're at that place where I'm like, I'm going to save.
No, I'm not going to mention any numbers.
Don't mention numbers. All I know is I'd have to open my two-pot to buy one of yours at the very least a few times. How does one get to your level of pricing? Do I need to wait for a gallery or one of the commercial players to place this? Because it's going to be it may be a while before it's necessarily a Sotheby's conversation where it's a quasi-open market. I don't think Sotheby's is that open, or the auction market is very open. But how do I know when I can say, you know what, this is my worth, and take it or leave it?
I think that's sometimes a lifelong journey when it's on that tone. But for me, I've always been just obsessed with the virtuosity of the work. However, the pricing of the work does go up as you achieve various, let's say, touchstones. Your first gallery solo, I have like 15 solos under my belt the last time I counted, which was a long time ago. Museum shows as well, museum solos. Next year, I'm doing an institutional, my first American institutional solo. So that will probably affect the accessibility to the work as well. So it's various touchstones. And as a buyer, because I also collect art, me and my husband, and I think that for us, we're led by the visuals. We're led by how art can speak about these two black men's experience in life and how we can overcome. And then the investment option is afterwards. I believe that I gravitate towards collectors who collect artists more than collect artworks, because the rest comes in the conversation that you then have with that artist you're attracted to.
Brilliant. Talk to me. A lot of the advice that artists get is that you should be very visible, have sort of high quality, a platform, be it a website and stuff. But one of the things that I quite like about you is that I always have to dig quite far for information. If you haven't necessarily been on a media run, you're not that accessible, which also feels to me it increases the value of getting to you for me. How is it that paradoxically that really worked for you, the mysterious artist?
The elusive Chantouest,
elusive,
I always say.
Yes.
but for me, because I'm really, I place so sacred for me what I do. the work that I communicate, the histories that I speak about, it has to somehow be distant from distraction. So 4 years ago, we moved from Cape Town to Hogsback in rural Eastern Cape. And it has been my most sort of like productive period. And I think it's been a coincidence that maybe it has done something to the pricing and the desire, attention and desire for the work. But however, indeed, art is beyond luxury, right? It's cultural artifacts. And I think that the more seeking as well the consumer does on the level of the artist who also seeks in their research and techniques and all of that, they meet somewhere and they start exchanging beautiful conversations.
Ati, how do you protect your copyrights in these? Are you quite disciplined about
yes.
ensuring okay
and Adams and Adams
Adams and Adams well we do love them so
yeah.
So that's something that I imagine you tell your mentees on a regular basis and early and often.
Indeed.
Next thing
indeed.
You know, you're
and
on a
it
t-shirt
starts, and it starts with being really really attracted, because in art you must have, for every step of the way that you're making, let's say a large painting or a large print that you're going to be reprinting, I would advise artists to start from the simplest sketch so that they do have a literal paper trail that leads to how the artwork happened. Be creative with your signatures, make them uncopyable, leave little marks that are only yours, a fingerprint will do even, and engraved into or stamped into your paintings. But for me, from the very beginning, because my catalog is rather large and I've always had the intention of it to outlive me and to somehow be a testament to a presence of a collective, you know, at a certain time. So I have to protect that. And it is the way in which also my father's grandkids will continue living, you know.
I love it. And then on the tax front, is the tax regime kind to artists?
No.
Okay. And is that unique, or is it just because it's not kind to any of us? Or is there
No, I think just as a consumer, just as an artist, I think also I feel that there's a certain chip on our shoulder as artists that we think we would like to be put on the same level as churches.
Oh, I wish.
And not be able. Yeah. So I think that discipline is something that is very, very important for the young artists as well, because it opens up opportunities to be able to get property and get credit and all of that. Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. All right. Can we talk a little bit about Amadoda on the Verge 1835 to 2025? Please just encapsulate for me in the way that you did on Sunday. when we were at the gallery. We don't have to go through the full thing, but it's such a critical topic as a black man, as a Xhosa man. I absolutely love that you are at the exhibition in the outfit of a man who's just come down from the mountain, and a very stylized version of that. Even though that is 20 years ago for you, because this exhibition is about masculinity.
Yes, my entry point for it is somehow trying, because after moving to the Eastern Cape, after being raised in the Eastern Cape, I think that I came back and I just saw so much beauty in our men. The men who work with me in my garden club, the men who pose for me in my images, my brothers who I hadn't seen in a long time, my uncles, you know. And in that came an inspired curiosity to see where, the beautiful journey that is that of black masculinity globally, but also specifically in the space of the Eastern Cape over a space of 200 years. And I do this through clothes, I do this through oil painting, I do this through mythology, and more costume.
It's exceptional. The vistas that you paint of, in particular, the vistas of the Eastern Cape, land being a very key theme behind these black men. Their faces are intricate and beautifully, exceptionally pulled together. Their expressions are so crisp. And then, as you say, with the clothing, the hints of colonialization coming in with military jackets, metal, brass. The references that you have, Algernon, I don't know, you and my friend read a book that I don't know, but I'll encourage everybody to please not only go to the exhibition, but just read everything behind it. You can find it on the BKHZ Gallery website. Ati, you know, it's exceptional to speak to you as always. It's a gift. You chronicle our South African history and challenge our future through your art. And I'm so glad that you also challenge us to ensure that this is a commercially viable thing to do, as important as it is culturally.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Rafilo, for having me.
Always.
And keep supporting African art.
All the time. As soon as I can afford it. I'm joking. I will. All right. Thank you so much. Ati Patrahuga, right there. Exceptional global visual artist who happens to be from Africa. That is the person talking to us about how to build an individual business in the business of art on Inside Your Business.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.